I never welcomed daylight savings time as much as I did this year, just because of no sunshine, long, dreary, boring days. And now we've got a little sunshine, and the days last longer, so it is a little bit better. But as we get to this time of year, you know, Passover's on our mind, Days of Unleavened Bread is on our mind, but there's something that plagues the world, and it's also really something that plagues God's church. And it's something we all have to be mindful of, that we all have to think about, that we all need to act on, and we all need to do something about. I'd like to read a little story here for you. And the title of this story is called Forgiveness. And maybe some of you have heard this story before. It says, once about a time, two brothers who lived on an adjoining farm fell into conflict. It was the first serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery and trading labor and goods as needed without a hitch. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding, and it grew into a major difference. And finally, it exploded into an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on John's door. John was one of the brothers. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. I'm looking for a few days' work, he said. Perhaps you would have a few small jobs here and there I could help you with. Yes, said the older brother, I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. Didn't even acknowledge it was his brother. Well, he does here, yeah. He says, in fact, it's my younger brother. Last week there was a meadow between us, and he took his bulldozer to the river levee, and now there's a creek between us. Well, he may have done this despite me, but I'll go him one better. See that pile of lumber curing by the barn? I want you to build me a fence 8 foot high so I won't need to see his place anymore. That should cool him down anyhow. The carpenter said, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and the post hole digger and I'll be able to do the job that pleases you. The older brother had to go to town for supplies, so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready, and then he was off for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day measuring, sawing, and nailing. About sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes opened wide and his jaw dropped. There was no fence there at all. It was a bridge. A bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. A fine piece of work, handrails and all. And the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming across, his hand outstretched. You're quite a fellow to build this bridge after all I've said and done to you. That's what he said to his brother. The two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle, taking each other's hand. They turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox on his shoulder. No, wait, stay a few days. I've a lot of other projects for you, said the older brother. I'd love to stay, said the carpenter, but I have many more bridges to build. The carpenter saw the problem. He fixed it. He did something about it, something the brothers wouldn't do. As a matter of fact, the brothers were going to widen the gap. They were going to close it off. The one had chosen to build a fence. I don't even have to look at my brother. Don't even want to see what he's doing. Matthew 6, if you turn there with me. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. That is what's going on around the world today. People are unforgiving. That's what's happening in the church today. Christians in God's church are unforgiving. That's not what God intended at all. We should be bridge builders. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Jesus Christ had just given a sample prayer. What should you include in your prayer? What should you say to God when you're praying? And it goes through that. But in chapter 14 it says, If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but, big word there, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Very clear. God wants us to hear these words. He wants us to understand what he's saying there. If we're unforgiving, God will be unforgiving. And I hope we read and take these verses seriously, especially as we approach Passover. As we're looking at ourselves, as we're examining ourselves, what area do we need to grow in? What do we need to repent of? What can we do better? Do I hold a grudge against someone? Do I refuse to apologize to someone or forgive someone? Those are the things we should think about. Forgiving others is something we can't put on the back burner. It's not something we can wait to do. I know parents who haven't seen or spoken to their children in years, and maybe you do as well. I know children who haven't spoken to their parents or other siblings in years. Maybe you know somebody like that. Hopefully that isn't describing any of us, because that certainly isn't God's way. I remember the father of the young man that did the shooting at the Sandy Hook school said he hadn't seen his son in 2 years. Why? Why hadn't he seen his son in 2 years? He didn't answer that question. But parents shouldn't have a span of time like that go by when they don't see their children. Unless they're in a place, a destination or something that's too far to get to. But it shouldn't be because of choice. Siblings. Nothing worse than to see siblings arguing with each other and refuse to talk to each other. Refuse to forgive one another. And it goes on and on and on, day after day. Nobody will budge. Nobody will make that move. It's their fault. No, it's their fault. You could go on like that till the day you die. And many people do. Have we not heard at funerals? Somebody will say, wow, I wished I would have spoken to them. I wished I would have called them. I wished I would have said, I'm sorry. Too late. Too late. God tells us to do something about it. And it is a problem. It is a problem. It stunts the growth in the church. It stunts the growth in our personal spiritual life. Because if we're held down by somebody who is unforgiving, or somebody who's offended us and we won't forgive them, who's being hurt? Who's being hurt other than us, the one that won't do the forgiving? The weak can never forgive. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Gandhi said that. A man who I'm sure had to do a lot of forgiving for the way he was treated. If you or I find ourselves as a person who has a difficult time forgiving others, if we look at ourselves and examine ourselves and realize, you know what? I'm that person. That's me. I hope the message today will help us realize that God will not accept any excuse we have for not forgiving others. God will not accept excuses. Because there are none. No excuses. Some, if not all the scriptures we're going to read today, will be familiar. And the subject of forgiveness is one of the personal topics that we should study as often as we can. Especially, again, as we examine ourselves. Who am I? What am I like as a Christian? Have I forgiven those who have sinned against me, who have offended me, who have made me angry, who have done something to spite me? Have I forgiven them? Matthew 6 and verse 12. Matthew 6 and verse 12, it said, and forgive, part of the prayer that Jesus Christ gave an example of. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we do when we pray to God, please forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us as we forgive them. Help us to appreciate what you do for us, the forgiveness you give us. Help them to help us to understand how important it is to be forgiving. Genesis chapter 2. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 2. God does many, many things that we are incapable of doing. We're limited as human beings, as flesh and blood, as mortal human beings. We're limited to what we can do. But God is unlimited. He can do whatever He chooses to do. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God can do that. God can create. And in verse 21, Genesis 2 and in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to Adam, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God can do that. We can't. We can't do that. God created Eve from one of Adam's ribs. Created Adam from the dust of the ground. The answer to the question, have you and I ever created a human being, is no. We can't do it. It's not possible. But God has the power to do something else that we can do. God has the power to forgive. We have the power to forgive. We can do that. God forgives us for the sins we've committed against Him. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to give His life so our sins could be forgiven and forgotten. God did that for you and I. We have the power to forgive others just as God forgives us. Do we use that power? Do we use that gift? Or do we refuse to? Because if we don't forgive others, it's a choice. And we're refusing to forgive. We make that choice. So we just continue on holding a grudge, growing in resentment and bitterness toward whoever that person may be. To forgive or not to forgive is our choice. No one else's. We can't blame anyone other than ourselves. We all know it can be frustrating sometimes when we feel that the same person hurts us over and over. Why does that person offend me continuously? We can get to a point where we can begin to believe that the person, because of their actions, doesn't even deserve forgiveness. God would certainly understand that if I don't forgive this person. They're obnoxious. They're unlikable. They're offensive. They get on my nerves. God will understand if I don't forgive them. Certainly He will do that. So if I don't forgive him or her, it's no big deal. God will understand. But will He? Will God understand that? Or are we just satisfying ourselves with excuses? But we can read in Scripture how God expects us to deal with one another, including those who offend us, including those obnoxious people that get on our nerves, that continually get in our face. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. in verse 27. But I say to you here, love your enemies. I say to you who here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away from your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Treat each other like you want to be treated. That's what God expects. In verse 35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Do you think we ever aggravate God? Do we ever become obnoxious to God or get in his face? Because of our actions, because of something we might have said or done. But God, in his mercy, forgives us time again, time after time. Luke 15. Luke 15, and beginning in verse 11. A parable we've all read about. A parable that sets an excellent example of forgiveness for each one of us. Some of us may have even experienced this type of a situation. And then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Living high on the hog, living large, and spent it all. But when he had spent all, there he arose in severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So he did lower his standard of living a little bit here. He was forced to because of some stupid mistakes that he had made. But when he came to himself, when he gave it some thought, when he examined, who am I? What am I doing here? How in the world did I get in this pig pen? Just like we have to give thought. How did we get here? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? He had to do the same thing. He had to think about what he was doing with his life. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So he was in that frame of mind to know where to turn, to go to his father and say, Father, I made a mistake. I did something I shouldn't have done. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So happy, looking to see his son coming back home. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father could have said, you bet. Didn't I tell you what was going to happen? I knew you were going to go blow every dime I gave you and screw up. And here you are, back begging, just like I knew you would. Didn't I tell you? That's not what the father said. He could have. He could have, but that's not what he said. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His father forgave him. His father forgave everything that he had done. He was just happy to have him there in his presence, to have him home, to be a part of the family. So he called one of the servants in verse 25, and now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on? What does this mean? What's happening here? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf. Now, he wasn't like his father. Thank God, my brother's home. So happy he's back. How thankful can we be? That's not what the brother said. And people in God's church can have that attitude. If someone leaves or goes off or does something and comes back, how are they received? Are they received as a loving member of the family? Or could we be like this brother? But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. I've been doing it all, Dad. Keeping a farm going, helping you. Never gave me nothing. Never gave me a party. Never acknowledged that. So yeah, I'm mad. I don't understand it. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. I don't understand. He didn't mind you, Dad. He was always in your face. He rebelled against you. He wanted to go his own way. He took a lot of money and blew it. And yet he comes back home and you're out welcoming with open arms, with a kiss. I don't understand. And his father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. This is all yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father understood. He understood the big picture. He understood how important it was to forgive, to help his son to continue moving on, continue growing, continue being a part of the family. He had learned something. He threw his life away, but he got it back. He thought about it, and he got it back. Having love for others must include forgiving others when they've sinned against us. That's a part of the love that we have. That's a part of the godly love that we want to have, that we copy, that sets an example for us. Even Peter, although he was with Christ daily and saw firsthand the example of forgiveness, of how Jesus dealt with people, couldn't quite wrap his mind around forgiveness. The whole concept really, you know, didn't penetrate his brain. He had issues with that. So he asked Jesus Christ about it. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Because he wanted to know, what's the deal? Some of these people just go over and over and over continuously doing things wrong. So what's the deal here? What am I supposed to be doing with these people? Matthew 18 and verse 23. Let's start in verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to him, Christ, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? That's a lot. Seven times. If somebody offends you or gets in your face seven times, that's a lot to forgive them. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Continual forgiveness. You're always forgiving. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Collection day. Want it today. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you. Have we not done that with God? Fall down on our knees and ask God, Father, forgive me for the stupid thing that I did. Forgive me. I'll do better. I'll do better. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt, as God does to all of us. He forgives us that debt, that sin. But that servant went out, and this could be us, and I always put myself in this place. That could be me, that could be you with this attitude. In verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. No patience, no love, no forgiveness. Pay me what you owe me now. So this fellow servant fell down, did exactly what he did, fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not. He didn't do what the master had done for him. This guy was not going to bend. He wasn't going to give in. He had no compassion, no mercy, no love, no forgiveness. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master and all that had been done. And his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. You told me you were sorry. You told me you repented. You told me you wouldn't do it again. I forgave you. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, very clear, each of you, from his heart, from what's in here, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Very clear message to you and I. Very clear of the direction that we should be going in as Christians. No excuse. No excuse. Accept it. Forgive as we've been forgiven. If we allow our pain to become bitterness and anger because we refuse to forgive someone, we will end up only hurting ourselves. We will end up giving up our eternal life. We will give up the gift that God's given us. That's where we will be. The first place we should all look for help is from God. God is the number one source if we're having issues forgiving someone. We're holding a grudge. We just can't get it in our heart to forgive this person. What do? We go to God. We go to God. Just as the prodigal son did. Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I need your help. God will be there for us. God knows us inside and out. He's aware of our lives and who we are. He will guide and direct us to a solution. We have to first admit that we have a problem and humbly surrender ourselves over to God. That's what this time of year is all about, humility, humbling ourselves before God. We're told to ask, seek, and knock and get God's attention and ask for that help. The Passover is quickly coming, quickly approaching. Are we examining ourselves? Are we taking a look at who we really are? Is there someone in our life in March of 2014 that we still refuse? Because that's what it is, a refusal to forgive. And if that's the case, we've got some work to do. We've got some prayer to put in. We've got some study to do. Jesus Christ gave his sinless life for you and I. He never once said to his Father, I can't forgive them because of what they brought upon me. I haven't committed any sin, yet I've got to die for these people. I haven't done anything, Father. Why do I have to do that? He never once said that. He never once said that. He was willing to do that for you and I, beaten beyond recognition, crucified, put to death for the sins that we've committed, that we still commit today. He was willing to do that. How would you and I feel if we had to give our life for someone who was sinning? How would we feel? Would we be up for that? Would we understand why we would have to do that? God the Father and Jesus Christ loves us so much that they were willing to do that. Whatever it took to give us our lives back. Whatever it took to give us a future. And it took their forgiveness. In 1 John, if you turn there with me, 1 John. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So there's no way for us to deny that we're sinners. We can't deny that. So now we realize that, we know that, we have to move on. We have to remember the death of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us, was done out of love. Was done because of that great love, so that we could be forgiven. At the same time, we remember the commitment, the promise we made to God to put sin out of our lives and live according to his ways. And putting sin out of our lives includes forgiving others, having a heart of love and compassion, and being merciful to others instead of holding grudges. Jesus set, again, a great example for us. When he was being falsely accused of crimes, being beaten beyond recognition and finally crucified, while he was hanging there on the cross, just short of the time before he took his last breath, he said something that we all should remember. We should never forget. Let's look at Luke, book of Luke, 23, chapter 23, Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Forgive them. Forgive them. That's what God does. That's what Jesus Christ does. Forgives. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgive. Forgive to be forgiven. That's what we must do. Over the next few weeks, and we have some time before Passover, as you're examining yourself, as you're meditating, as you're doing Bible study, as you're in prayer, here's some scriptures I'd like you to read, to go over, to look at, to think about, is that me? Do I need to do these things? Is that talking about me? Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. And we read that, but if we forgive others, God will forgive us. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. How much do we have to forgive? How often do we have to forgive? Jesus Christ gave Peter that answer. 1 John. Chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Confess your sins to God. Go to God. Ask for that help. Acts 7, 59 to 60. Follow the example that Stephen gave. Forgiveness. Luke 17. Verses 3 and 4 helps us to understand how we deal with a sinning brother or sister. How do we deal with that? I have a problem with that. Scripture can help us with that. Romans 12, verse 20 to 21. Romans 12, verse 20 to 21. Overcome evil. Overcome evil. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. Reconcile with your brother or sister. Reconcile. Forgive. Forgive. Reconcile. Mend that relationship. No matter what it takes. No matter what it takes, mend that relationship. And in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, very important. Something we don't do often that we need to do more of. Go to your brother. Go to your brother if your brother has offended you. Go to your brother or your sister. Talk about it. Deal with it. Bring God into the equation. But we all have something to do as far as forgiveness. We need to forgive one another. We need to forgive other people. We need to do as a carpenter did before Passover. We need to build that bridge.